Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
First day on ice for the Sabres as training camp is now nicely underway, and Marty appears confused right off the hop.
Well, you know what, Duffer? That's because if you're watching an MSG right now, I've been up since 5 a.m. I have been smoking brisket and getting ready for some good old Montreal smoked meat sandwiches for the Bills game tonight. So I figured I'd get in the festivities. I know it's a hockey show. I know it's first day of camp. But this is my outfit on game days. And I felt like I wanted people to know what I do, especially on night games. So, yeah, and I checked it out right before the show, Duffer. It's looking good. It's smelling good. It's
okay.
The brisket.
Because the last I looked wasn't great. I know it's supposed to be fine, but it was miserably cloudy and windy here a minute ago. So.
Oh, well, I mean, the last I was out there is about 20 minutes ago, and in the South Towns, it was beautiful. So
that's good.
I can tell you that I'm looking forward to a beautiful night. And then yes, we can talk hockey. I mean,
I hope
there's
so.
1 hour.
I don't really want to talk about football, so.
I know. There's 1 hour of programming today on WGR 550 that's going to talk about the first day of camp, because everybody else is going to talk about the Bills game tonight. So let's get on with it. That was, it's like back to school to prove that I'm not a fool. So that's the way it goes on the first day.
Is there anything to take away from what what happened on ice as far as the first group? Obviously three groups, all the details, sabres.com, and Jordan LaBarber is going to join us a little bit later in the show, but just as far as the assembly of the lines and pairings to get things going today.
Well, obviously there's no Alex Tuch, right? He is day to day, and Lindy and Kevin Adams talked. I almost said Lindy and Darcy. They talked about it yesterday. Whoa, what a flashback! Right?
They might have.
They might have. Man, maybe they talked about it before the presser, but Lindy and Kevin Adams talked about Alex Tuch being day to day right now, and they'd expect him to be fine and everything. So, but it's clear the first day of camp right now, you've got an NHL group that's going to practice together, that's going to get organized, that's going to push the pace and the tempo right away. And then unfortunately, there's guys that are not in that group that you're like, hey, there's some guys that maybe would fight for a roster spot. Well, maybe they'll get that opportunity when it comes to preseason games, because not everybody in the main group is going to play every game. There's going to be some opportunity. But I'm looking at this. We talked yesterday about the left wings, right? Like, who are going to be the left wingers? Who's going to play on his off wing? So Benson was with Norris and Thompson. So that put Quinn on the left wing with Kulik and Doan. Now, I kind of assume that Doan is there in the place of Alex Tuch, and that everything would be switched, shifted down. So you'd have Zucker, McLeod, and right now it's Danforth, but maybe Josh Doan would be in that position. and Gertsen, Krebs, and Malenstein, but Danforth would slide down. So that's kind of like how I see it. Like, this is something we talked about. How the line's going to be? Is Benson going to be with Norris and Thompson? Thompson going to be a center or not? But even yesterday, like, who's going to be playing the left side? And it looks like the first try on his off wing will be Jack Quinn, having a chance to play top six. And that opportunity may be there in training camp for him to prove that he's a top six winger on the left side and can produce.
Well, it's not like he hasn't played in that exact position before, right? I mean,
yeah, because I mean, Peterka, Quinn were a duo. And Peterka was a lefty, Quinn was a righty. But often those two would find themselves on the wrong side of the ice. Like, Peterka liked to come down the right side, Quinn likes to come down the left. It's in the defensive zone that could present some challenge, but it's not like Jack Quinn has not played the left side. He has. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe even the summertime, you know, coaches talk to the players. And I would think that if this was a plan of Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff to say Jack Quinn's going to be starting the year or at least training camp on the left side, you call him up. Hey, listen, Jack, when you do drills this summer, how about you start working on the left side? Pucks being rimmed around the left wall, entering from the left side. Like, what do you see? Making that play in the neutral zone, maybe on your back end. So you prepare for that. And let's see if Jack Quinn prepared for it or... And if he's apt to do it, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, but I mean, historically, where, you know, before he got to the NHL and even with the Sabres, this he was the most obvious choice to switch sides, as we talked about yesterday. Yeah. And again, without Tuck, it's and obviously it's not like they're, you know, cementing things on day one. But yes, you're right. It does have a similar, familiar feel to what we saw and what we were thinking in the offseason, save for Mason Geertsen, who got mentioned yesterday, I think it was by Lindy Ruff, about culture. For those who don't know Mason, he has spent a decade in the minors. He's 30 years old. He's 6'4", 230, and largely a defenseman, but brought in as a forward here, and that's why he's slotted in on the fourth line wing. Just what do you make of that? You know, I think the fan base obviously would have seen the signing and maybe heard the name yesterday, but maybe doesn't quite know the whole scenario, or they know it vividly and I'm just ignorant. I don't know.
So I think they would know the scenario. I mean, Mason Geertsen was signed to come in and add some weight and add some toughness, and maybe there is a place and a role in Lindy Ruff's roster with Jordan Greenway out of the lineup to say we need that 6'4 through 30 guy to be dressed on most nights, and maybe it depending on the situation. Now, he had 1 year in the NHL that was in the 21-22 season where he played 25 games with New Jersey. He had 5 fights that year with the New Jersey Devils. I went back and looked on hockeyfights.com to see who did he fight. He fight Jeremy Lauzon. He fight Zach McEwen. He fought Zdeno Chara when Chara was with the Islanders there. I mean, he fought Zach Cassian and Josh Brown. Like, he fought big guys. Like, if you're thinking, no, this, you know, I don't know this guy. Is he a middleweight? No, he's a big, big man. And when I think of him, and you say play D, but mostly brought in as a forward now, I think of Curtis McDermott, right? Like, he was in LA. Like, Curtis McDermott in juniors was a defenseman, a tough physical defenseman. And then when he got to the NHL and teams saw a need for him to play forward because he was big and tough, that's what he turned out to be. So, I mean, if you have a need on defense and if you have injuries, those guys can still fill in a roster spot on the back end.
Right, but let's be honest, before you go any further on that, he would be at least 11th on the depth chart for defensemen.
What I was going to say is they can always, like, if in a game you lose two guys and you're down to 4D and you say, hey, you need to go take a few shifts on defense. He's not a guy that's going to start a game as your top six defenseman. You're right. He wouldn't be like 7, 8, 9, 10. But as a forward, there's more flexibility to say, you know what, we'll play you 7 minutes a game as a fourth line left winger if we have to. But that's basically what he's going to bring. But because, again, we have those two groups that are very, very defined, NHL group with 12 forwards, 8 defensemen, 2 goalies, and then an AHL group that has Alenius and Roseanne and Wahlberg and Kozak and Ryan Johnson.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, Kozak's on an NHL. Like, I mean, Kozak has to clear waivers here, so this isn't.
He has to. So. But Gertsson kind of seemed to me like he's, I don't want to say he factors in more of the NHL group, but right. That's the idea they have because of the way it's been laid out in day one.
And like you say, the absence of Greenway and obviously Tuck, who's probably the bigger story now. It's just Tuck is, you know, not so much the absence. I mean, he addressed the media and you can get all that through our social and sabres.com.
Yeah.
But, you know, we I don't want to say, I mean, you got into yesterday, you know, the number of players who haven't signed extensions, regardless of whether they're, you know, going to be RFAs next year or UFAs. And, you know, as camp opened, and by the way, I mean, NHL preseason play begins this weekend. The Sabres don't start till Monday, but action actually begins on Saturday with one and then more on Sunday. But
Sunday, there's Sunday afternoon games.
Like Jim Nill, like talking about it from Dallas, but Jason Robertson, who, if you remember, many, many months ago was like the biggest talking point on this show for at least 24 hours. Actually, I think we did a whole show on Jason Robertson and his contract effect. Nill said it's a standstill. And so that applies to, even though it's different, Mason McTavish in Anaheim, Alex Tuck, Marty
Natchez. Luke Hughes in New Jersey, who's not signed.
Artemi Panarin, Jason Robertson, Kempe, Eichel, Kyle Connor,
Kirill Kaprizov.
McDavid. So when he said standstill, sure, it was brought up because of no movement at all on Robertson, despite it's sounding an awful lot like how Kevin Adams has talked about the Tuck situation. Like, you know, I shouldn't lump them together. They may well be completely different. My point was, in any general manager's wish list and to-do list of the summer, you would love to get it done in July. But the reality is there are countless players across the NHL in the exact same situation as Tuck. And I guess my question to you is, if there is one reason, why do you think that is?
So I feel like everybody that's looking at extensions have changed their minds from maybe April, May, June to now September. And it's one of those where you're like, well, you know what? The price is wrong. Like, okay, it used to be $7.5 million and now it's $8.8 million because the cap is going up. That's where I feel that most of the issues are going to be. I think there's a very, very big shifting in the market. And you're going to hear that market is shifting. Everybody's going to talk about it. Agents are going to talk about it. And the fact that somebody's going to start. Somebody's going to set the market. I think that Kaprizov is trying to do that because he's looking at, I could be going $16, $17, $18 million a year, and that's going to shift the market up on everybody. Connor McDavid, I don't know that he really moves the market any way, which way, because it's like, it's Connor McDavid. If somebody was to offer him, or if the Edmonton Oilers want to give him a max deal, 20%, $19 million a year, $20 million a year next year, whatnot, it's fine. And if Connor McDavid wants to take $16 a year, it doesn't affect everybody else because everybody's going to say, well, Connor McDavid took way less. He's on his own planet.
Well, it has to have an effect because it's not stretching the ceiling for a player.
I think
it's way different because if he stays at 16, not a lot of players are going to be able to say, I'm close to McDavid. If he takes 20, obviously no one's going to get close to McDavid, and that's going to be the perception around the world, is that this is how it should be because he gets anointed as, not anointed, he's earned the respect and appreciation of everybody as the best player on the planet.
So
that's why I think his choice actually affects a little of this.
I'll tell you this. So when I was about to get drafted by the Sabres that summer, 1995, I'm doing interviews with team. Marty Brodeur was negotiating with the New Jersey Devils for a new deal.
But was he? Because it was Lou Lamoriello and there was no negotiation to be had.
Well, so my agent
like
represented,
like, yeah,
but my agent represented Marty Brodeur, right?
Yes.
And he was like, Marty was like, Lou wants me to sign this. And my agent's like, Marty, you need to make the most money you can make because everybody after you is going to be able to push that ceiling up. Mm-hmm. And Marty's like, I don't know if I want to do this. And so, you know, we're talking about 95, 96, like
right after the first large scale work stoppage,
large skirt
lockout,
very big,
and everybody 48 game season. Yeah,
exactly. Because now, oh, by the way, we didn't mention on the show, but Bob Goodenow was a big part of raising those salaries. He passed away last week, right? With this past week. And he was a big part of the players making their salaries public. So everybody knew what everybody was making. And all of a sudden you're matching. But I remember Gilles Lupien, Marty's agent and my agent, telling Marty, look, you can make anything you want. Montreal may offer you like a contract. And this was Patrick Roy was still in Montreal, but there was rumbling of Patrick's having a, you know, a bit of a, he's not sure he wants to continue in Montreal. And he actually got traded that year, right? 95, 96. So, so he's like, you could go home. And I remember thinking like, man, that'd be nice for Marty to sign a big contract. Like, are you too good for your home? Like, are you not going to take it in Montreal? But he said to Gilles, he said, I'm taking the deal that Lou has on the table. So then when he went to Gilles Lupien, he said, okay, what is your agent fee for the contract? Lupien put a big zero on a piece of paper and gave it to him. He goes, I can't be associated with that deal. I need to think of all my clients and all of it. And I bet you right now the Players Association is having that conversation with Connor McDavid's agent and maybe Connor McDavid himself saying, you need to push that envelope, that ceiling. Mm-hmm. Like, Marner took less, in a sense, to go to Vegas. He took 12.
But he got 8 years. But
8 years, you're right. Like, that's a lot of money. But Draisaitl is at 14, and the next guy, who's the next guy, right? The next guy needs to be Kaprizov, and then after that, McDavid, and then you're going to have to chase yourself at the top.
Right, and it'll be Matthews again soon enough, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah. Okay, so you know that when I asked the question, I expected that answer from you. Something in that realm of what you just said. Mm-hmm. What if it's not? What if more players, McDavid at the top of the list, is not concerned about money and term and setting marketplace, but is only concerned about future franchise success?
Yeah.
And he's lived it closer than anybody else other than his current teammates, because he's been there 2 years in a row and hasn't won. And now the writing is on the wall because of all the departures up front for that team. And they look crazy different up front right now, even though they have McDavid and Draisaitl, they look really different from a year ago.
Do you think it affects Alex Tuch though, what Connor McDavid
signs? That's what I'm asking you. This is why I'm trying to play like I'm trying to present a different scenario. That's all. It's not devil's advocate. Is Kaprizov after, and he doesn't wear, just like Dahlin doesn't wear the length of the playoff drought here. Kaprizov doesn't wear the length of Minnesota's frustration of rarely getting out of the first round. And keep in mind, they were up 2-1 on Vegas last year, lost all three games by one goal, lost two of them in overtime. There is like regret throughout that organization that they didn't take a step last year. Mm-hmm. So what if Kaprizov's, even though you maybe are largely right here in thinking he wants to set the market, maybe he just doesn't see, as good as they are and the pieces that they have, maybe he doesn't see them as the team that ultimately wins it all. And I'm just curious how many players, and I don't want to say they previously just took deals because they were offered and they made sense under the salary cap, You know, because we saw the big jump the players were getting in second contracts, the ones that immediately follow the entry-level deal. What if a whole bunch of players right now are just saying, I'm not sure about the team that I'm with, and it's as much about that as setting the marketplace?
Well, and again, you're seeing all this cap space everywhere, and you're thinking, hey, you know what? Everybody's going to have $15, $20, $25, $30 million to spend next July 1. I can pick. I can go to Colorado.
More than ever before, right?
Like never before. Like never before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for me, McDavid is the first one. And then after that, like that may affect Jack Eichel, McDavid's contract. That may affect Kirill Kaprizov, McDavid's contract. I don't think it affects Alex Tuck because, you know, that McDavid makes 20 or 17 or 18, it's not going to affect Alex Tuck. But here's Alex Tuck may be saying, what do you think Marty Natchez is going to get, right? What do we think that Adrian Kempe is going to get? What do we think that Nick Schmaltz is
going
to get?
Okay, what's going through Kempe's mind? He knows the cap is going up too, but he's lost four straight years to the Edmonton Oilers. Is it four? Yeah. Is that right? Because sometimes I'm in disbelief. It's four, right?
It's four, I believe. It's four, sometimes isn't it? I'm in disbelief too. I'm going to sure look it up quickly. I know it's the last three for sure, but I
don't want to throw them under the bus here, but maybe it's not four. Is it?
Four in a row. Lost to Oilers.
Don't change the answer on multiple choice.
And before that, so you look at the LA Kings, they haven't won a playoff round
since they won the cup.
Since they won the cup in 2014.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs the year after. They lost to the Sharks in
this
five
is
the year
I'm
after.
Asking this question.
Yeah.
Like Marty Natchez has no history with Colorado. What's his incentive to do a long-term deal? Right? Like he because he's been in the league long enough, he may have favorite destinations that he would prefer with choice to just ride out this year. Presumably might get traded then at some point, knowing how Colorado went last
year. I mean,
it
is Colorado, and he was 55 points, I think, in 49 games, like over a point a game with them. Mm-hmm. And he's going to continue to be a top-end player. You know, he was kind of like, I don't want to say the forgotten one, but it was all about Mikko Rantanen getting traded to Carolina, and then he didn't want to be in Carolina. They turned him around to Dallas. He signs a big deal in Dallas. Natchez is like, wait a second, I'm here. I can produce too. Like, I can make that money.
He got mildly overshadowed in crunch time by the return of Landeskog and the acquisition of Brock Nelson. So it rounded out their forward. Had those two players not been there, there would have been way more scrutiny on Natchez in the postseason. You know,
playing against Rantanen that was in Dallas. But Rantanen signed a contract that is, you know, $12 million. So it's like, Natchez is like, hey, I was the one that Colorado, you thought I was going to fit in for Rantanen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Natchez is probably thinking 10. So if Natchez is thinking 10, then Tuck is probably saying, I'm not far behind Natchez. I'm 9.5 now. And we were thinking 8, 8.5 early in the season. Yeah. But now the summer has worked up and maybe Tuck is thinking 9, 9.5.
Yeah, for me, I was always thinking that it could be higher than that for Tuck on a shorter term deal. I know we talked about that. Like, you know, you have the space now. Like that, this is the thing. This is all just so unprecedented. Like, just dial it back to Jason Robertson for a minute. And I get it. Like when you lose, there's hard feelings and maybe sometimes you feel like you get more of the blame or whatever. I'm not saying that's the case, but maybe some players feel that. But like all Dallas does is get to the conference final. So logic as a sports fan would say, why would you ever leave? Well, maybe he just doesn't think they're going to get over the hump. And he has, you know what I mean? Like I find this
incredibly long list fascinating. And a new coach now this year. Like a new coach could change things in Dallas this year. Glenn Gullitson comes in. Like Pete DeBoer was fantastic. It ended in a terrible way with the Jake Ottinger situation. But apparently there was other things that players in the locker room were like, I'm not sure about that anymore. Mm-hmm. But now Glenn Gullitson comes in. It could go great. It could go disaster. And Jim Neal's going to have to rethink everything because maybe Robertson is like, hey, I'm RFA. Mm-hmm. I'm going for offer sheet.
And good article, by the way, with Pete DeBoer by Mike Zeisberger on NHL.com over the last few days. Really his only time speaking about everything that happened. And he actually said in the article, I'm not talking about this again. Whenever my next step is, and anybody asks about this, I'm going to tell them to just look up the article.
So he's going to print it out and give it to everybody.
Good luck, Pete DeBoer, on that one. It's not usually how it works, but I admire the tenacity and, you know, his intense approach to everything. So.
Duffer, not that you're a big movie guy, but I'm sure you've seen the movie Jerry Maguire, right? Mm. So I was going to go to bed last night. Jerry Maguire is just starting on
TV. What year was that?
Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
Mm. Man,
like you're making me feel really old with this.
Because 1996.
I was going to say late 90s. So,
the late Kelly Preston was in it, and it was Jay Moore as, Sugar. But I forgot the beginning of the movie where he's on the road, he's in the hotel, he's got the panic attacks, he's sweating, and then he writes the mission statement. And just like because it's 1996, he prints 111 or 110 copies of the mission statement at the Kinko's or something, and he puts it in everybody's mailbox at the hotel for them to get it. That's going to be Pete DeBoer. He's going to print the article and put it in everybody's mailbox. Now, there's no mailbox like that anymore, but he's going to put it on everybody's chair in the press room. But I'm like, I totally forgot that that's how the movie starts.
Yeah.
Right? That he puts it in everybody's mailbox. And then
Pete might be smart enough to reach out to the high-ranking members of the Professional Hockey Writers Association and have them distribute to all their media members the article just in case they missed it.
You know what? Read this and learn this because I am not answering any questions on it. That's a great move by him, though. Big Z, Mike Zeisberger, has been around forever.
Right.
He is
that's why the interview happens. There's a relationship. Yeah. A long, long, long standing relationship.
And
that's always been the beauty of great writers is having that exclusivity opportunity.
And you got to get that trust, right? He knows that Mike Zeisberger is not going to go out there and carve him a new one, but he's there to tell his side of the story and put it out there because there's two sides of every story. Read both sides and kind of see where that all went. We heard Jake Ottinger's side. We heard some of the players' side and the Dallas Stars side. Now that's Pete DeBoer's time. But yeah, Jerry Maguire, 1996, great movie.
The DeBoer headline was pretty good, or like the almost like the secondary headline. The quote was, "We were all to blame."
Yeah.
So he wasn't taking it all on him. So I like the shared responsibility in that.
And Jason Robertson may say, show me the money at some point. So circle it back.
Jordan LaBarber's coming up from day one on ice, technically day two of camp. I'm going to stop labeling it. It's camp. It's open. It's ongoing. And there will be 6 preseason games, of which they begin on Monday on the road. Last, though, real quick before we break. So where are you at with Tuck based on what was said yesterday, what was said by him today, and your gut?
My gut is that's going to get done. And now when I heard Alex Tuck talk today, my gut is it's going to get done sooner than rather later. Like I was thinking by Thanksgiving, right? Saying that gets done. And I don't think Alex Tuck or Kevin Adams are worried about in-season negotiation when it comes to that. Like, they probably have had multiple conversations. They have a framework of where they would want to go. It's just a matter of feeling comfortable and everything else. But Alex said, I love it here. I want to be here long-term. Boom. Tucky, listen, from the time you got traded here, you've been talking about your love of the team, you just built a house, you're here. I think it's going to be just fine. It's going to get done. But it may cost, what's another $500,000? Like, it's a famous line of mine on this show, but I think that may be what we're coming down to.
First preseason home game is Tuesday. Regular season begins on October 9th at KeyBank Center with the Rangers coming in. Sabres are looking for your input, you, the fan, to help choose the goal song this year during the blue and gold home games, of which the season opener will be just that. Then, from that point on, Thursdays will be black and red. But submit the song that you think would make for the ultimate goal song this year, and who knows, maybe you get chosen as the winner. Sabres.com/goal song to make your submission today. Maybe Jordan's got an idea on that. Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com, next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
As promised, Jordan LaBarber from Sabres.com, who probably didn't hear our last promo before the break, and that was about the goal song coming up this season and the fans' choice for it. You don't have to have an answer right now, but you do have to have one before the end of the segment. So I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but you are a music guy after all.
All right, I will brainstorm in the background here, and
okay.
before we end this, I'll have one.
Think of me going in, scoring a goal, and then you're like, "Yes, this is the song that Marty would have." Like, and you can't go French because nobody will know what it is.
Apparently, today's the last day to submit. I just learned this. So,
oh, today's last.
Sabres.com/goal song.
So. Last day to submit, and then there will be finalists, and there will be a vote among the finalists next week.
Okay. Sounds great. Listen, you
unlike
are
Jordan, sounds great.
It sounds great. Yeah, sounds great. You are at Leacom Arbor Center, and you got to see right from the get-go what Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff, the team, is looking to do. No pucks at the start of practice. A little bit of a skating competition, we can call it. So what did they have to do to test their maybe their fitness level on the ice?
Yeah, to give you guys some background, the second group, which is mostly the Rochester Americans, are on the ice in front of me now at Harbor Center. And they just concluded what you were referencing, the no puck portion, the skating portion. And essentially, they're using two rinks here at Harbor Center and having guys go two at a time. And they go up and down the ice 4 or 5 times in a row. And then go through cones in the corner. So it's essentially like sprints with a bit of an obstacle course at the end. And they do it again and again. And by the time they're done, they're pretty gassed. So it goes hand in hand with what Lindy Ruff was saying yesterday. And they intend for this to be a very hard camp. I think the players are prepared for it and they want it. And I also wonder if it's a bit of Brian Gallivan, the new strength coach here from Team USA, putting his stamp on this training camp, because he is among the people out on the ice for these tests, taking notes of how they're performing. So very interesting, not the way you typically see training camp open. So I thought it was an interesting start.
Duffer, quickly, when they do a test where you go and do your obstacle course, they clock you, they see your time. Let's see, it's 52 seconds. You take a break, you do it again. The next time you do it, like, you want to go all out, but it also is going to measure how much of a drop-off there is from your first time to your last time. But if you pace yourself earlier, then they know that you're dogging it for the first, you know, couple of tries. And then you're like, if you go 52 seconds, 52 seconds, 52 seconds, they're like, hey, you didn't really give everything you got your first time. So there's a balance here. And it's always it's mentally and physically challenging to go out there and do those type of tests. So, yeah, that's interesting, Jordan. So who was like hunched over the boards the most?
I don't know about who was hunched over the most, but I will say, so they brought the putts out after that and they did a more standard practice. But within that, there was also sprints at the end. There were push-ups, not punishment push-ups, just I want a push-up time. And after those last sprints at the end of practice, I saw every face looking right up at the ceiling as this huffing and puffing. And definitely lived up to, again, what Lindy said yesterday, which is they want this to be hard.
Jordan, having a tough time with the audio. So if there's something most prevalent, most pressing from day one so far, what would it be?
I think really just that, the pace. And honestly, the fact that the groups are separated the way they are, I think most training camps, you see a mix of prospects and NHL veterans in the various groups. Really, it's the NHL group from the get-go. I think that kind of alludes to the sense that, you know, no time to waste here. We want to get this thing running right off the ground right at the start of the season.
Okay, well, I think sure we're, no, that's fine. I think, like, I feel like, you know, Jordan is in, you know, you guys all have a microphone, and I don't, so you're going to listen to every damn word I'm saying. Let's go, Jordan. Love that quote, but anyway, I think we're going to let you go. Yeah, the audio is...
Well, not without a song.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What's the song?
Oh, man, I'm on the spot. Sugar, we're going down. Fall Out Boy. Oh. I don't know how it works for a ghost song. That's a great song.
It is a great song. All right. You get a win for that.
We're going down, like, or you're going down. We got to change the lyrics.
Yeah, sure, you're going down.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So
talk again, about songs, though. I was on the golf course Monday with my group, that song, Say It Ain't So, you know, Say It Ain't So. Well, I think it's Weezer or whatever. And I've got a terrible voice, but I'm like, they used to play that in a junior rank, in my junior rank, when we would get scored on. Like, oh no, we got scored. And it kind of put the spotlight on the goalie. Like, Say It Ain't So, you got scored again, right? Basically, it was terrible. I was like, change that song.
Power of a good DJ.
I'm like, play elevator music when they score. Make it like more generic.
when you looked at the forward lines earlier, you mentioned where Doan was slotted in the absence of Tuck. There's really nothing from the blue line that stands out to you today, right?
No, everything that we've been talking about, it is Dahlin and Byram, which... I mean, if the Sabres and they have their analytics department and they're really looking at what that defense pairing did last year, we talked about the goals differential, goals for, goals against at 5-on-5, shot share, quality chances, expected goals. They were one of the top defensive pairing in the National Hockey League when looking at those numbers. So you gotta put them together. Now, especially Byron with the contract, Dahlin, they're like, hey, go and be yourself your best version of a group. And finding a partner for power, that was the big question mark. Kesselring and Owen Power, give them as many reps as you can together so that they can use this whole training camp to see where they're at. Like, usually, as Jordan was saying, often you mix and match some prospect and then you have your guys separated. Now, keep them together, those two especially.
But when you say it that way, and knowing there's six preseason games and these are technically veteran players in Power and Kesselring, how much would you expect them to play? How many games would you expect them to play?
I said a minimum of three.
Okay.
Like, you know, potentially four. Like, there's, you know, but it's basically three sets of two games, right? You got Columbus, you got Detroit, you got Pittsburgh. Only the first two are back-to-back, so you could play more down the stretch, you know, as it goes. But I almost feel like very probably three at the minimum. I could see four. And if they come to you and they say, if Power and Kesselring are like, hey, we feel like we need one more. Okay, go ahead. Play October 3rd in Pittsburgh and let's get you going. Because by that point, they'll have their full team. You know, yeah. Kevin Adams has talked about...
Well, they might already... What do you mean their full team? Because they have their full team pretty much today, don't they? Like, yeah, the way but it's I'm lined just saying up.
They won't. They will have made their cuts. They will have sent... Because Kevin Adams has talked about doing team bonding on their last trip when they go to Pittsburgh. So they will travel their full team, their main group. It's not like, oh, October 3rd is... you will send some guys on the road, but our main guys are going to stay at home. Everybody's going to be traveling. I would think that October 3rd is going to be the main group playing in that preseason game.
Which flies in the face of what has happened in football.
Where they right? don't play.
Like nobody plays.
Yeah.
And next year, moving forward, fewer preseason games. So you know what I'm getting at here. Like, I think a lot of people now are wired to think, why do these guys play? Right?
Well,
and it's completely different than football, but at the same time, every fan has the same concerns. So I think that there are fans that would be more inclined to just keep playing the AHL group today in at least half of the games. But you're going to be able to articulate it more from a reality standpoint and what this group needs to do in its final preseason games.
So because you draw a comparison to football, I'll say this.
It's like impossible not to, looking at you, quite frankly.
Yeah, I know, and I get that. And I think that's a very, very valid point and fair assessment of how football is limiting now. It used to be four preseason games. It's three. Most of the starters barely play. But if you look at the Bills have had successful seasons. So they're saying to Josh Allen, we don't need you to play. You don't have anything to prove. You don't have any chemistry to gain. We'll do it in practice and whatnot. But the Bengals in the last 6 years were 1-11 in their first 2 weeks of the season. So what did they do this year? They played their starters. They went out and they played them in preseason game. They're 2-0 this year. So
yeah, but
the
isn't
Bengals
their quarterback hurt now?
He's hurt. He's got turf toe. Yeah, but it's
that
not
probably didn't just magically appear, right? Like it probably.
I don't know about that, but I'm just saying is that like the Bengals looked at their lack of success early in the season right. and said, we need to play our guys. And it worked for them this year because they're 2-0, even though Burrow's hurt. But the Sabres are looking at 10 of the first 14 games at home this year, having to get off to a strong start, maybe going 9-5, 10-3-1 in those first 14 games. Yeah. Like that's your goal. I think you're going to see the starters, or for lack of a better term, because that's a football term, but the main group play more this preseason, or maybe more late. Like usually the last game is like, okay, let's forget about it. No, they're going to play and get ready for that first night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Against the Rangers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could bond with a few extra players, though, right? Like,
you should, because you got to be able to assess other players. You can't go main group 5 out of 6. So, yeah, the Roseanne and the Elenius and the Oslin and the Mertka and Ryan Johnson, who's on the AHL group. I mean we've talked about Ryan Johnson now, you know, knocking at the door. Well, he's not in the top eight as it is right now because Zach Jones, that's on a fourth pairing with Jacob Bryson, right? So, but those guys are going to play.
Yep.
But I would almost venture to say, like, Power Kessel Ring, like, show me what you've got, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Jack Quinn, go out there and play 4 preseason games. Show me what you've got. Yuri Kulik, play 4 preseason games. Show me what you've got. Like, that may be more in that realm.
Right. And you know where this is coming. This is not necessarily me questioning or whatever. Like, I'm just trying to give the fans a voice here because I just know how fans are wired now. And I just don't think they want to see certain players playing in preseason games.
Yeah, hockey is so different.
It's
in
so
that
different.
Way,
but I know.
It feels like it's getting closer and closer to what football is doing by you know, the load management and the condensed schedule. So teams are looking at the condensed schedule this year with the Olympic year and everything, saying, "Man, we don't want to run everybody into the ground early in the season." Michael Leone in Rochester has talked about they don't morning skate on Friday and Saturdays because they have more energy in the second half of games and in the 3-3. So I think that all kind of fits in to maybe longevity in the season. But I think the Sabres don't have the luxury of, say, like Florida, for example, saying, it's okay if we don't have home ice advantage. You know, just get into the playoffs, we'll be fine, and we'll have Matthew Tkachuk, LT, whatever. No, that's not the Sabres' position at this point in time right now.
Funny you ended on Florida, because I was going to ask you if you could have ever withstood a month of Grapefruit League for Major League Baseball. But
I don't like
no time
grapefruit.
For that. What?
I'm not a grapefruit fan.
Okay, so
I used to love the Cactus League.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it would have been fun.
Think about it. We got a break and come back with the typical fun and nonsense that closes Sabres Live. Stay with us.
Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Birthday time, and I'm going to be really disappointed in you, Marty, if you don't know whose birthday it is today. And this is not Sabre related.
Well, I know that it is Scotty Bowman's birthday, so that is Sabres related.
Yeah.
So, but that's the one I had on my mind.
Peter Stastny.
Peter Stastny.
69 today.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a kid, I did not know his birthday. I knew his stats. I knew, like,
Do you know
I knew
any
the Jofa helmet, the visor, the look, everything, but I didn't know his birthday.
Do you know anybody's birthday, like stardom kind of thing?
Not really.
No.
I know JP Dumont because it's April 1st. It's
a little
April
different.
Fool's.
Yeah. Well, that's
exactly.
RJ day too. Yeah.
And I knew that the Stasnys were from Bratislava.
Yes.
So I knew that. And,
I think the only reason to ask is because I think my obsession, like, you love Stastny. I love Perot. And I always knew Gilbert was November 13th, 1950. Partly because my mother has a November birthday as well, which probably tied in. But yeah. Anyway, happy birthday to all who are celebrating.
Remember, high quality H2O today. Bills game tonight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.